Welcome to the Fishing Daily Podcast. Today I am joined by Patrick Murphy from the Irish South and West. And Patrick is joining us from Brussels. Welcome, Patrick.
Hi, Oliver, and hello to the listeners. Hey, everybody.
Thank you, Patrick. Patrick, big news. The cat's out of the bag. You're going to be running for the next European Parliament elections in 2024. How did this come about?
Well, I was always involved in my local community, and since I was a young fellow, I've been involved in political matters and canvassing for various people and liaising with different politicians and reaching out to them. And I came to a stage that I spent most of my time giving out about politicians and criticizing them. And somebody said to me one day, it's easier to be the hurler on the ditch. And, you know, why don't you put yourself forward? And I chuckled at it. But since I've been in this role, Oliver, and coming out to Brussels and seeing how the legislation here is impacting us at home, and not just in the role that I have in the Irish South West now, but also in my own capacity as an aquaculturist and fisherman myself. And I just say it's crazy. And even though we are part of the consultative process, I think we have to be a step up to be really listened to. We seem to tick the box and a lot of stuff, and then it comes in, like you see in the VMEs, vulnerable marine ecosystems, farm to fork, Green Deal, taxonomy. We are present when all this new legislation and regulation is being drafted, and we have an input, but our role and the input isn't as important as I think it should be. And I've just said, I could keep doing this for the rest of my life. Whereas, you know, if I become an MEP, I'd be hoping I'd have a greater input and influence on this, because it's really, people don't realize how many laws are coming from Europe, and all of them are, and right down to our finances. And we're legally bound to bring in 180,000 people. And this is all coming from Europe, right? This is all from being Europeans. So I think it's critical. So again, there's no point in me giving out about people and saying, why aren't they doing this, and trying to convey information to people. So, like, you know yourself now, Oliver, how complicated and complex the Irish fishing industry is, and the amount of regulations that govern it, and the laws that govern it, and the interpretation of those laws. Like, everything is inside the courtroom now. So despite my own knowledge on law and what happens in regulations in Europe, it's you have to be there at the drafting stage. You have to have the influence, as far as I'm concerned, and follow it through. And in the role I'm at the moment, I don't see that I'm getting the bang for the buck that I think my time that I'm putting into it can get. And so I put my name forward. Why ain't to? I suppose as people are asking the question, and rather than the party politics, I look at the people behind it. And I looked at Petter Tobin, and Petter Tobin told the Irish public, I'm not going to be told what to do. I have my own views. I'm not going to toe the party line. I'm not going to stand up and make a fantastic speech about backing something or other, and then turn around at the end of it and say, well, I'm not going to vote against the whip anyway, so you can disregard everything that I've said. And I look at people like that and I say, well, do you go for party politics, or you go for the people behind it? And it's a growing party, and if I'm in it, I hope that I'd be allowed to influence it and drive the party. That's what I want to get involved in politics for, is change. I don't agree with how things are being handled at the moment. Look at our fishing industry. I grew up in a thriving industry. You couldn't get into it. There was a queue to get ahead of the queue to get into the industry. That's completely and utterly destroyed now. And if somebody says, well, that's not down to political, of course it is. Absolutely it is. And nothing sure anybody's dreaming to think that if that's why our industry is the way it is. Look at Norway. We're over now trying to negotiate and hammer home to the European Union, for the first time I know of, is that Irish waters or Irish waters, and to allow another member state or even a coastal state, would you believe it, into our waters to just fish away happily? What's in it for us? Like, these are our waters. Now, I know we're part of the European Union, but what galled me in Brexit was one of the things that really annoyed me is, first of all, we paid the price for Brexit ourselves out of our own fish. But when you looked at what other people paid, where did they pay it from? They paid it from Irish waters. They gave back fish in the North Sea, which was the UK's fish. But look at the Celtic Sea. Look at the Irish Sea. And a prime example of that is the Irish Sea herring. There's only two countries we're fishing it, Ireland and the UK. We gave up our Irish Sea herring. We had to hand it over. We didn't choose to do that. That was a political decision. So these political decisions have driven me to put my hat in the ring. And look, people will either vote for me or they won't. On the international stage, there's no doubting we did what we needed to do when we met the Russian ambassador. And I'm hoping people will see that. So my knowledge and skill set isn't exclusively fisheries. There's a hell of a lot more. And I know what it's like to open up the wallet at the end of the week and go, oh God, what am I going to do next week? And I think you cannot understand what it's like to be an ordinary person in Ireland, not a career politician. You have to go through the pain to understand what it really means for a person that you're representing.
Well, Patrick, the thing is, we'll probably be hoping that you'll be going to the Fisheries Committee. And at the moment, there's no permanent member from Ireland, even though we've got 12% of the waters or whatever percentage, however it's measured.
Whether or not I would be a better representative on the Pesh Committee if I got there, yes, I've no qualms in saying that. I've fished all my life. I now see the regulatory side of it. I've represented fishermen, and I'm telling you, 100%. And do I know it all? Not for a second. But I certainly know more than most that's in that area in Europe. And the reason why I can say that hand in heart is because I'm contacted and I'm asked for advice or what's your views on this. So that obviously means they too acknowledge that I know what I'm talking about.
Do you think that's where your strengths will lie?
Yeah, it wouldn't be the only strength. There's plenty more in the population that's there, but I think as an island nation with 9 times our land mass, and it wouldn't be just about fishing. We have offshore renewables, and I can't see why that shouldn't be at a priority list for the Pesh Committee and people that are on it. If this new technology that's coming into the oceans, and we hear all about restore oceans, biodiversity and everything else, this is an untried, as far as I'm concerned, technology. You know, we have wind farms in the sea, but not to the amount of wind farms and turbines that are being proposed. And we were at a seafood ORE group and a presentation that was made by Michael Keating. And in his presentation, he said you could draft a corridor, right? 12 kilometers in width, 12 kilometers wide, right? From the west coast, southwest coast of Ireland to Newfoundland. And that's the area you're talking about on the desire of our government to create offshore wind renewable. And like, I don't think people realize what is coming and what this will mean. Look, if you stand a pole in the river, it'll change the flow of the river. You'll see currents sweeping from it. It completely alters. These will have an effect on the environment. They are going to have a continuous pulse from cables. We've had this discussion before. So, like, I want to try and work with the ORE's. I've always said that. And if it's safe, if it's beneficial, if it doesn't do any harm, if it actually protects species, then why not? Of course, you know, we get a renewable energy source. Not as green as people might think, because there's a lot of stuff into the making of these things, and I don't know what the lifespan is. There's an awful lot of information that seems to be missing. The carbon footprint, the carbon credits, I think that's where the money lies in this. I don't think it's just about power generation. I think there's a there's a whole economy and a whole business model built around carbon credits. We've seen that with the purchasing of Irish land by the UK Vulture Fund company, where we learned that, you know, the carbon credits that they get for planting trees in Irish soil goes back to the UK, which I find absolutely hilarious. And again, this is as an MEP that I'll be going over there. I can't understand how anybody can buy land, plant trees on it and get carbon credits. But there doesn't seem to be any carbon credits for the trees that are on the land or the people that own the land, the whole of the Irish nation. Where's the carbon credits there? Also, where's the carbon credits for all this carbon sequestering we're told that the seas take up? It's our seas. We didn't give away that anyway, that's for sure, to the European Union. But we don't seem to be getting any acknowledgement for that. Instead, we're told, get rid of the farmers, get rid of X, Y, and Z. And I find it, the sums don't add up. And again, the information isn't there. And I'm not an MEP yet, but as you said, there will be ways of checking this, and being in the European Union, just like you check up yourself there, Oliver, like. So that's what you want. And here's us having this debate and conversation now. And what I'd say to people is this: could you name your MEPs in your area? And if you can, how many times have you met them since they've been out there? How many times have you brought a problem to them or discussed something with them? I think that's insane. Because I think you should be talking to your MEPs every day of the week. Somebody, like, something, because the regulations and the laws are being drafted in Europe and being implemented here in Ireland. They're being adopted. And a regulation, you cannot change. It has to come into the country. Like, once the European Union sets forth the regulation, you're duty bound as a member state to take that in. You might be able to tinker with the language of it, but the regulation is coming and you can do nothing about it.
Well, I noticed back in 1986 when I was out in the European, visiting the European institutions, and at that stage, we weren't sort of as dominated by the European Union as what we are now, but it was definitely going that way. And, you know, we're a country that needs to wake up and really get out there and understand what's happening in the EU. We're talking about last time we were meeting was decommissioning. The government on one side is saying that DG Competition has said the rules are this, and the Irish government is saying we can't change these rules. And the last meeting you had in Limerick with the fishermen, what has come from that since? Has been any developments?
Yeah, but you see, this stems to one of the reasons why, as I said, I put my name forward and my hat in the ring. Not just on what we discussed in Limerick, well before that, to do with the minister's register for fishers and masters of vessels. You know, that you don't have to be guilty, you have to go on a register. So we wrote a whole load of questions to the European Commission and the commissioner himself. And the responses we got back weren't adequate. And I just put it like that. And there was a lot of get out of jail cards. Now, surely be to God, I should have been able to pick up the phone to an MEP and say, listen, what's this about, lads? They don't have a clue. Not a notion. You know? And to me, that's wrong. And genuinely. And if I was, I would get the honour of going out there, if people do vote for me, and I need a lot of votes. Like, you know, this isn't something that I took lightly. Like, this is a big deal. Like, I'd say you want 120,000 votes for you. 100, that's a lot of votes, but people. So I'm looking for votes from everybody and anybody. But 120,000 votes, that's my job. I have to know the EU law. There's a lot of it there, but especially if it's specific to my area, which is the marine. Like, there shouldn't be it's a trilogue. You have the member state, you have the European Commission, and you have the European Parliament. And everybody has to sign off on it, right? But I don't think people understand what they're actually signing off on and understand the ramifications of it. And I had a meeting with the SFPA. I won't go into the details of it, like, but I'm scratching my head. And I was told, I'm not a lawyer. I don't have a legal opinion, which neither do they. So, and all I did was ask the questions. show me in the statutes, because I can't find it. Yeah, I mightn't be a lawyer, but I can read the law. I've learned that. I can guarantee you that. And I said, show me. Where's the implication here? I'm not a judge. I'm not a lawyer. You tell me. And it was just a case of, no, this is the way we are interpreting it, and that's it. And you're just going, but you're, the only way that we can challenge this now is in the courtroom. That's madness. This is hundreds of thousands over something very small, but would have a huge effect on the day-to-day operations of the industry. And just coming back to that, when we brought in the quota balancing system because of an EU regulation, which was the lending obligation, which meant that you couldn't discard fish anymore, and the implications that meant for fishers. And that's up, and that's topsy-turvy now at the moment. Like, but I spent 5 months on your show, on the Skipper, and on the Marine Times documenting what I was saying was that the interpretation of the quota balancing would mean that boats would have to come in and land before the calendar month was up. And I was laughed at. I was like, no, not at all. She doesn't write at all. And I said, it's here. This is the way it's written. Until finally we got a department, an official in front of the minister to say, yeah, Patrick's correct. And can you imagine people going out to the Porcupine? There's 1 week fine left at the end of February. You couldn't get out beforehand. So you're waiting all month to get out. And then you're no sooner out there. You have to turn around and steam and come back in again. You know, whereas because of the changes that we brought in, it changed the interpretation and the way that it was written. You can fish, close down your logbook, continue fishing, and then coming in the second week, and you have a viable trip, and you can use the quota from the previous month, and it doesn't get taken off you in the next month. Now, I would like to make more changes, and I will be very vocal in that, where boats in the demersal, it takes a two-month window before somebody is balanced. But in the intervening month between your figures and the month that you might have overfished, right, or caught a bit more fish, then the second month, you should be voluntarily able to fish less than that month, or even half your amount, like, because it's about the conservation of the fish. It's about being compliant with the lending obligation. And I couldn't get anybody to agree with me. And I'm just going, sure, this is for the good of the fishermen. And so we're trying to reach compliance. We're trying to make sure that the stocks are healthy. That's the ultimate goal here. It's not about punishing fishermen for something that they didn't plan on doing, or shot the net and they got more fish than they had in that particular month, because there is a penalty. There is a payback, regardless of that I call it a penalty. Of what else is it? You have to give your fish back and have less the next month, which increases your jeopardy of again going over for the next month and further penalties. But look, this is the industry that we're in, but like it astounds me. So I think if I was an MEP, I think I'd get a better listening to what I was saying. Maybe I'd be more credible, or people would, you know, oh sure, he must be talking sensory. He wouldn't be an MEP otherwise, you know. But I'd be hoping that I'd have more knowledge, but I still have the knowledge that they have now as well, too. That won't change.
Patrick, the reason why you're in Brussels today is because of the fifth round of the Norway-EU negotiations. And has there been negotiations taking place this morning?
Yes, there was the plenary for the mackerel in London. So we were online for that as well, too. Look, this isn't just about us meeting people. This is all boots on the ground. This is about showing people that we are serious this time. Oliver, we're not just asking for fish. We overturned something, right, that was given away on us again, right? Now, temporarily, thanks be to God, because we were managed to overturn it, but it was going to be given away for a third year of asking, just like that. And it was only down to the work that E, as you've spoken to on this program, and Brendan and myself and our colleagues, right, in the end, did that actually made it possible, because we were told all along, I know this has to be done under relative stability, and you can't get a payment for Irish water because you're part of the EU, and you know, you will have to share it with everybody else. And we said, no, absolutely not. This is a complete new ask. This is nothing that was there before. This is Irish waters. You're certainly not going to take our waters again for a benefit for yourselves. We're not standing for it. Not a hope. The Irish people won't stand for this. If you do this, we are not going to remain quiet this time. We will take it to the streets. And not just the streets of Ireland, the streets of Europe. We're not adverse to having flotillas and people going on the streets. Well, this time, I think the whole of Ireland will understand what would have been an absolute rollover of our people and our rights if a country outside of Europe, let's be straight about this, Norway is outside of the European Union. And to allow that country to come in here for free and to fish away in our waters, to catch our fish, and I don't give a monkey's what people might say, so I want to be an MEP. Blue whiting predominantly spawns, grows, and stays in our water. And the Norwegians use that methodology to claim more fish in their waters. Simple. So if they're saying in our waters, this is the rules, then I'm saying, yeah, same rules apply in Ireland's waters. So this is monumentous, because this has never happened in the time that we were part of the European Union, that this acknowledgement has been ironclad. 100%, in fairness to our minister, in fairness to Savignius, in fairness to a lot of the staff inside in the commission, they have acknowledged this now, and they've told Europe, and told, and I mean told Europe, all the other countries, because they're chomping at the bit to get into Norwegian waters, right? And they've told them that, you know, not this time. We're not just going to give you access right up to the Irish shoreline, up to the 12 miles, to catch fish inside there. Multiples, and we're talking about multiples of what we have to catch. And look, Oliver, we'd have to do a full program on this, right? And I'll explain why. If you go into the stock book on page 56, 57, you will see the historic landings of this fish going back to 2007. And literally, you would want to hold on to your seat when you see what I've seen. This stock has been fished well in excess of 1 million tons every year. And you see countries that never fished before now suddenly have quotas. You look on the first page, there's countries in the European Union aren't even mentioned. You flick it over, next thing they're catching as much, if not more, fish than the Irish have. There is definitely an investigation has to go into this stock. So I think the average is around 1.3 million, what we're seeing this year over the last decade easily, and we're getting 30,000 and 40,000 starving in our own waters, and factories all around Ireland closing down because they have no produce, and we watching boats outside in the horizon while our boats are tied to the pier wall, turned off, and lads wondering where we're going to get the next euro from, because we're not allowed to go fishing because we don't have the quotas, and we're not even looking at European boats they are European, but EU boats. And they're fishing away merrily. Like, something has to give there. Like, and this is the first time in that I can ever remember or recollect where Ireland has been given this acknowledgement. And it's hard fought, I tell you. And like, people think that this is a jaunt out here. Not at all. I'm exhausted. I left home last night from my house in West Cork at 11 o'clock. Up to the park the car in, wait for your flight, jump on over to Brussels, into a train, straight to the hotel room, start the meetings straight away and interviews from there on, contacting people, networking. Three of us, not one of us, myself, Ian, Brendan, just flat out and hanging. We're hanging like. So when we finish this now, I'm all dressed up, I'll go up and we'll try and see, even without arranged meetings. We try and meet people. The last person we met coming back last week only, coming back, was Mairead McGuinness. And luckily, she got trapped on the stairway to go into the plane with me for 20 minutes and I had a captive audience, and by God, did I make use of that. And like, Bray listened to everything, took on board what was there. Let's send me the emails. That woman now has sent emails to Savignius, commissioner, to our minister, to the Taoiseach, as a European commissioner, right? In fairness to her. And that stemmed from a 20-minute conversation.
Well, Patrick, there seems to be a lot happening. And, you know, this is a big, this could be a big monumental shift for Irish fishing if it happens. And I know that you have to go off to another meeting now. And yep, as you said, it's been a long day. And I'd like to thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedule to speak to us. And we wish you all the best with the future careers as an MEP if you get elected. And when you get elected.
When I get elected, yeah, we'll look on the positive side. But anybody that's watching this, I won't get elected unless you put the old tick after my name, you know. But like, look, everybody's vying to go to Europe, and everybody tell you they're the man or the woman or the person for the job, right? And that's fair enough. But if you want somebody of the candidates that are there at the moment that knows a little bit about fishing, I'm your man. And simple as that.